Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Merkey Behavioral Research Center here at Car Talk Plaza. This is a study of sorts, I guess, sent to us by someone named Peter Graham of the Department of Behavioral Sciences, Pensacola Junior College in Florida.
This is not a study of sorts. This is brilliant.
You think so, huh?
Oh, here's what Peter, what's his name, Peter?
Peter Graham.
Peter. I teach an experimental psychology class and ask our not brain dead students to design and run an experiment. One of them came up with the idea of looking at the effect of gender on car repairs. Now get this. Tammy disconnected the ground wire for the check engine light on her still under warranty Kia, so the light came on. Then she took the car to 10 different repair shops and asked them what to do about it.
Got it.
She also had her 6'4" macho boyfriend, Corey, take the car a week or two later to the same shops. Okay?
Got
it. Here's what we got here.
Let's find out the results.
We got 10 shops, and first we have the diagnosis that Tammy got and the cost to fix it. And for the same shop, in many cases the same mechanic.
Yeah.
The diagnosis that Corey got. Now, shop number one. They told her she needed a new alternator, $385. 2 weeks later, Corey goes in. The wire to your light is out. Cost zero. Shop number two, oxygen sensor and Cadillac converter, $320. There's a little asterisk. The mechanic offered to cut her a deal if she would go out with him. Corey got the same diagnosis. Except in the case of Tammy, the price was $320.
Did he go out with the mechanic?
In the case of Corey, who didn't want to go out with him, $135. Shop number three. Tammy goes, fuel injector, $565. Corey, the wire is loose, $10. Shop number four. You need a transmission, Tammy, $2,400. Corey, same shop. The wire is loose. Price, zero. Shop number five. To Tammy, the wire is loose. For Corey, the wire is loose. That was the same. Shop number six.
Call that a push in Vegas.
Shop number six. You need a water pump, $765.
So wait a minute. The light's on and you need a water pump.
Get that.
Okay.
Shop number seven, oxygen sensor. Shop number eight. Told Tammy she needs a head gasket for $300. They told Corey, the loose wire. Zero.
I see the trend here.
You get it. Shop number nine, you have a faulty exhaust system, $1,345 for Tammy. For Corey, a loose wire, zero. This goes on and on.
Well, it's pretty obvious then that if you need your car fixed, you better be 6'4 and a guy. Right?
Man, this is serious business. And I think this is very widespread, widespread.
I know it is. I mean, it's... Yeah. See it every day in our shop. Anyway, if you'd like some bogus information about repairs for your car, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, who's this?
My name is Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Ellen.
Yes, who's this?
Didn't you call us?
Yes,
no one ever asks us that question.
We're unprepared to answer that.
Okay. Are you the Car Talk guys?
That's us. Yeah,
we are. Yeah. We are. Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Lynn, Massachusetts.
Okay.
At my place of employment, but I live in Peabody, Massachusetts.
We know them both.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's up?
I own a 1987 Mercury Sable, and a few months ago, about 5 months ago, I started noticing an intermittent bad odor, and several people suggested that it might be my heater core.
Oh, that would be unfortunate for this car.
Well, it was unfortunate. I did have it replaced. And after I had the heater core replaced about 5 or 6 weeks ago, the smell was gone.
Good.
Well, over the past about 4 weeks, it seems that I'm getting a smell again, and it's not to the degree it was. It's like a rotten egg type smell. It's not like a mildewy odor. It's more like a... Well, I won't tell you what my 10-year-old daughter says, but she thinks the car is
A little flatulence.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
She thinks the car has flatulence. That's it. But that's the type of smell we're talking about.
Well, the heater core replacement was probably necessitated by something else. It must have been leaking coolant.
Uh-huh.
The smell that you'd get from a leaky heater core is not offensive at all. In fact, it's kind of nice.
Oh, antifreeze it was very offensive.
Has a sweet smell to it.
Yeah.
And so he must have noticed that the heater core was leaking.
Right.
Or he had a boat payment due.
Ah, there we go.
Or whatever.
Yes.
But obviously that's not the source of your smell. Yeah. Your smell is coming from the exhaust system and more likely the catalytic converter.
Right. The heater core had nothing to do with the smell.
And it's the catalytic converter not functioning correctly because, and it can be the result of using a gasoline that has too much sulfur in it.
Uh-huh.
And the converter cannot hold the sulfur compounds on itself. I think it uses a nickel compound to.
So hold on now. We got some more information here. Do you always buy gas in exactly the same place?
Yes. Always.
There goes that
too. Boy, would have sounded great,
wasn't
huh?
Wasn't that good?
Yeah. That was good.
That was good.
Do you think that...
Can you say no for our editors?
I'm sorry.
See, if you had changed gas stations...
Yeah.
That would explain
it. That would explain
it. On the other
all.
Hand, sometimes the way you drive will have an effect on it. For example...
Go ahead, bail me out of this.
Okay.
If your car sits in idles for a long period of time, it's more likely to produce the smell. Because the oxygen sensor will cool off, and sometimes when it's not immersed in hot exhaust product, it will cool off enough to send a faulty or erroneous signal to the computer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the computer will alter the mixture and make the smell.
I like this.
Okay, it sounds good.
So if you, for example, I'm going to stick with it because it's, what,
the only thing
idea
we got?
That...
No.
So
yeah,
it's
no,
possible
I like...
that you're more likely to get it when you are stuck in traffic, for example, or when you've done short little distance driving or sat with the engine running and waiting for your daughter to come
what
out.
What do I say that again?
That's true, she
dance
said. Class.
That is true. Yeah. Okay, that is true. May I ask a question?
No, you're out of questions. You had seven, that's it.
Oh,
all right, go
more?
Ahead.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't embarrass us.
All right. I have a friend, a boyfriend, who suggests that what I'm smelling is strictly road smell. That's what he calls it. He thinks that smells that may have been sort of blowing by are now coming in the car.
Oh, wafting in. No, no.
What do you think about that?
No. Are you serious
with
this guy?
I'd get rid of him.
Okay. Tomorrow. So he's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I would suggest that you watch how you drive, for example. If you are sitting idling for a long period of time and that's when you get the smell, just avoid those situations.
Avoid those.
Yeah, and try switching brands of gasoline. Sometimes one brand of gas will make more smell than another.
And have your boyfriend switch brands of deodorant. That might help
it too. And don't pick him up at the gym anymore.
No, I won't, but I never do.
Oh, good.
So really, try a different brand of gas.
Try a different brand of gas and try driving the car as opposed to parking with the engine running.
Okay, I will do that. I'll take your advice.
Ellen, it's been a pleasure talking to somebody from Peabody.
Oh, I'm sure it has, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Mike Gildon from Aiken, South Carolina.
Hi, Mike.
Aiken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hurts there.
There must be a lot of jokes about Aiken, South Carolina. But I won't make any of them, Mike.
Not on the air, anyway. What can we do for you, Mike?
Well, I have a problem that's sort of generic. It's about cars, but has nothing to do with my specific problem.
Must have to do with your wife, then.
Yeah, that's true, too. For years, it's been bothering me about fuzzy dice. Why fuzzy dice? Why not shiny elephants? Why not fuzzy ratchet wrenches?
God almighty, what a question.
It hasn't occurred to you yet, but I'm sure that... The reason that you hang fuzzy things and soft things from your...
To protect you in case... Like, this was the predecessor to the airbag? Is that what you're going to try to tell
us? You wouldn't want to hang your bowling... First of all, you wouldn't want to hang your bowling ball from the rearview mirror.
No.
Right? Because
it would break the mirror.
It would break the mirror off, number one. Number two, it's too hard. So if the thing is swinging around and you happen to bang into it with your head during an accident, you'd hurt yourself.
Right.
So that eliminates the bronzed baby shoes. You don't see those anymore.
Used to.
Yeah. Now there's...
What about the smelly pine trees?
I like the smelly pine trees.
God, if anything could make you sick, it's that stuff.
Not as sick as what they're covering up. Right?
But, Mike, this is one of the questions of the ages. I mean, I don't know the
and
answer.
And you can't hang shiny things.
No, you
because
shouldn't.
Because the reflections will blind
Except,
you.
Except, I mean, what's coming into vogue now is hanging prisms, which are exactly not just shiny things, but reflecting shining things so that all kinds of colors are flashing around the inside of the car. But it is a good question. I have no idea. How did fuzzy dice get to be the hanging thing? How did that happen?
Well, why the pom-poms in the rear on the rear window? Think about that. Or the dog with the head that goes... You know.
It is interesting that certain things just happen.
Right.
And they capture the imagination at some point. But don't forget,
well,
someone
don't
had
forget.
To actually make the first pair of fuzzy dice.
Yes, exactly.
Was it Tom Edison?
I think so. I think it was Marconi. But don't forget, dice signify good luck.
Okay.
Right? Uh-huh. So when you buy a new car, you want something to instill good luck into that whole experience.
I will talk to Paul Merkey about this immediately after the show, because Paul Merkey has, as I've mentioned on the air earlier, is designing an experiment in which he is testing the efficacy of airbags against St. Christopher medals. Now, we know that St. Christopher is defrocked, and therefore, maybe fuzzy dice ought to be included in that experiment.
Yeah, well, if you're talking about that, why don't you talk about a horseshoe instead?
And a horse, but the horseshoe, that's a good question. I mean, if it's luck you're after.
That's right.
Well, it should be a fuzzy horseshoe. Hey, Mike, we may be on to something here.
I'm going to talk to Paul about this. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
People, not everyone in the world is thinking about stuff like this.
No, this is what separates us from the baboons, right? And not that big a separation.
It certainly is not.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jennifer calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Now, Jennifer, you sound like an up person.
I am.
You are. Yeah, you do. I mean, you have that what is that, quick step in your voice. It's the caffeine, right?
I think so at this point in time.
Is it Portland, Oregon that makes you happy?
Yeah, Portland's a nice place.
Good, okay.
Although that's not where I'm from.
Oh, no?
No. I'm from the East Coast originally.
How east? Like Maine?
No.
New York
but
City.
Part of my story comes from Maine.
Okay, we'll let you tell your
All
story.
All right, go for it.
Yes. Yeah. My boyfriend has a 1987 Toyota 4Runner, and I'm having the dilemma of trying to find out a way to get rid of it. Or do something with it, because it has a few problems that he's trying to deny.
Oh, he's in denial.
He's mm-hmm. big denial.
Go ahead.
What kind of problems does it have?
Well, it's lost fifth gear. The windows are stuck in the up position. It has main rust on it. The climate controls no longer work. And the brake light is always on.
Is there anything really wrong with it, though?
No, I mean, seriously, I mean, these none of these things that you mentioned so far are disasters.
I mean, fifth gear, unimportant.
Fifth gear, who needs it?
Well, you know, I mean, let's not get carried away.
I mean, and rust, of course it's got rust.
Uh-huh.
No climate control, well, so what? I mean, how bad is it? Brake light constantly on. If it's been on for a real long time, then there can't be anything wrong with the brakes.
No,
otherwise, you'd have been dead by now.
Right, pretty soon the bulb will burn out and you'll forget about that one.
Right. The only thing that troubles me is the windows that won't go down.
Yeah, they won't go down.
None of them?
The back window will go down.
Oh, that's good. In case you have to crawl out of the vehicle, you've got one method of escape.
Is it on the driver's side?
No, it's actually the rear window in the back of the truck.
Oh, the rear window.
Rear, yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay. You can both get out that one.
Oh, yeah, holding hands.
True.
Yeah. So what's your problem, Jennifer?
Well, it's just I'm trying to convince him it's time to either sell it or fix it and then sell it. And he just doesn't want to do it. He just sort of wants it to die with him.
Well, is this a guy thing?
I think it is.
I hate to keep relating these things to my marital life. But, I mean, it all seems to be related. My wife's theory is something in the house breaks, fix it. My theory is, did it fall down and hurt you? You know, like, is it a piece of the roof? We have a front little porch. She went bonkies because somebody told her that the base was rotted away and it was going to fall down. And I said, well, of course it's going to fall down. And when it does, we will either stop using the front door or we'll fix it. But every little thing that goes wrong, she's got to fix it. What's with you women anyway? Lighten up, will you? Come on, so it doesn't. We don't have to have perfection.
No, I don't think it's a woman.
I think, you know what the trouble is? She has me for a husband, and she's used to perfection.
She just wants every other aspect of her life to be as perfect.
She figures she deserves perfection.
If she's got you, she might as well have a front porch that isn't falling through.
No, but women do get nervous about stuff that's not perfect.
See, I don't think it's a woman-guy thing at all.
You don't?
No, I fix everything around my house that's broken. In fact, I go and break stuff so I can fix it because I happen to enjoy that.
You do?
I do, yeah.
So it's not a woman-guy thing. How serious are you with this guy?
Well, we've been together for 3 years. Living together for three years.
Oh, so you could dump him anytime. I
mean, there's no commitment here.
Yeah,
no.
There's no commitment here, right.
No. I'm thinking if he gets rid of the truck, there might be a commitment.
Yeah. Well, I would put it to him just like that.
Okay. Really? Ooh. An ultimatum?
I think so. You may be in a position.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know, huh?
Don't mess with it, Jennifer.
I think he might pick the truck in that case.
He might. Don't mess with it, Jennifer.
Well, wouldn't you want to know right now?
Yeah, maybe
and
I don't
forget,
know
if you win, you'll control him forever. So, think about that, Jennifer.
Okay. Yeah.
It's an awesome responsibility, I'll tell you.
I'll take it on, I guess.
I know you will.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling, Jennifer.
Bye-bye.
Now, before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break. Do you know why?
Yeah, so you can figure out the answer.
That's right. We'll be back in a minute.
Called like a deer in my own headlights.
And even though bagpipers wonder what that grating noise is every time they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Snowflake, the only data warehouse built for the cloud. You know, today, organizations need the agility that rapid data insights bring to stay a step ahead of the competition. With Snowflake, you can instantly and infinitely scale your data warehouse with the touch of a button, delivering deep insights at any time for all users. Start your journey towards data-driven decision-making at snowflake.com.
Hi, Ophira Eisenberg here, host of NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia, Ask Me Another. This month, we're celebrating women in comedy, and this week, we're joined by Retta. You may know her from her role on NBC's Parks and Recreation or her new series, Good Girls. Listen and subscribe now.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I happen to remember the puzzler.
Good.
About the big truck.
Who cares?
The one with the high pressure turbo. Oh.
Sorry. Anyway, this puzzle was inspired by a photograph that I saw in the paper recently. Picture this. I'm driving. This is all contrived, obviously, but for the purposes of obfuscation.
No!
And
you mean that these puzzlers that you give us week after week are not absolutely the
Most of this particular one happens to be a contrivance. Anyway, I'm driving down the highway, and I see way up ahead one of those big diesel tractor trailer trucks. And it's spewing from its smokestacks the vilest, blackest, thickest, nastiest smoke imaginable.
We don't want to talk about
Anyway, as I'm closing in on the guy, I see him pull over to the side of the road. The thing is still running, and the smoke is just pouring out. It's brutal. So being a nice guy, I pull up next to him and roll down my passenger window and say, "Hey, you knucklehead, you're killing everyone behind you. Why don't you shut that thing off?" He says, "I did. I turned it off, but it won't stop running." So I say, well, obviously something's wrong. Why don't you stall it out? He says, "I can't. It's got an automatic transmission." "But don't worry," he adds. "In a couple of minutes, the engine will be seized, and it'll stop."
And he's happy about this.
Don't worry. And so are the 90,000 motorists behind him. Anyway, I look at an emblem on the side of his truck, and in an instant, I know why the engine's going to stop running and seize up.
I got it.
What did that emblem say?
Fiat. No? No.
No. He was, as we know from the earlier description, he's driving a diesel truck, but the emblem I see says turbocharged.
Yes, indeed.
And the reason he can't shut the thing off is that the turbocharger has failed, and it is sucking the crankcase oil out of the engine.
Yeah, we should mention that the way you shut off a regular car is when you turn the key to the off position, you're stopping the spark from occurring.
Right, and the way you turn off a diesel is
which
you
ain't
shut
got
off,
no stinking spark.
No, you shut off the fuel.
Yeah.
So you close a valve, which prevents fuel from getting from the tank to the injectors, and the engine obviously shuts down. But now, with the turbo failed, it doesn't need the fuel in the tank anymore. It's using the motor oil as a fuel.
Mm.
And that's why the smoke is thick and black and ugly and vile and nasty.
And what's going to happen is it's going to suck all 38 quarts of oil out of that giant...
In about 5 minutes.
out of that giant diesel engine. And when the oil is gone, then it's going to stop.
Pretty good, huh?
I like it. Yeah.
Anyway, who's our winner this week?
Ah, we have a winner. Here it is. Ooh. The winner is Melissa Armstrong from Fleetwood, Pennsylvania. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Melissa is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can pick up a Car Talk baseball jersey, which has 3/4-length sleeves, perfect for keeping those arms warm while you're wasting away on the bench.
Anyway,
yeah,
we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. So don't touch that dial in the
we're
meantime.
We're still in the first half, aren't we?
We're in the second half. We just entered the second half of the first quarter.
Cool.
We'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Matt from Manchester-by-the-Sea, Massachusetts.
Gee, hi, Matt.
Manchester-by-the-Sea, is that the whole name, or the real whole name of
yes.
the place?
Yeah, I think, a few hyphens in there, and that happened in the 90s to distinguish it from all the other imposter Manchesters in New England. So.
Wow.
It's a pretty snobby little place, then,
it
huh?
It certainly is.
And why are you living there with a bunch of snobs?
Well, my wife and I are currently in seminary out here on the North Shore, and we are caretakers on an estate here in Manchester.
Oh, so you're just temporary.
That's right.
Yeah, so you don't fall into the category of snob. You're just
no, he's just stealing,
just
the prisoner. Just stealing the silverware.
Yeah, we're just temporary snobs.
So what's up, Matt?
Well, here's the whole ethical dilemma I have comes from this place where I live. I have an 88 Trooper.
Yeah.
And the rear main seal is bad.
Oh, man.
And to get that fixed, I think it would cost about 6 times the value of the car.
Or 60 bucks.
Right. Either way. Same thing.
Roughly the same thing, right.
And so here's my dilemma. I live on this property, and the person who owns the property is a great supporter of environmental causes, but here I am dripping oil onto his land.
How much is it leaking?
Maybe a quart or two a month.
Oh,
a quart or two a month?
And
it's leaking that much?
Yeah.
A quart or two a month is not bad.
Are you kidding? Leaking?
I've had engines that leaked a quart a day.
Well, it just looks like the whole underneath of the car is sweating oil.
Hmm. I mean, it is a lot, obviously. I mean, is it leaving a mess in his driveway?
Well, it was, and now I have to park in the gravel, so... And you know, you just kind of kick the rocks around every once in a while.
Of course.
Did you say that you were in a seminary or something?
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
that's okay with us. I mean,
no, I mean, it's only a little oil. I mean, God's not going to care about this, I don't think.
Right.
I mean, he put the oil here.
I'm with you.
Yeah, no, I don't think I think you're doing the right thing.
I think you're doing the right thing, too, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't go get some medicine.
Yeah.
Have you been to your local neighborhood parts store?
You mean...
Manchester-by-the-Sea Motors?
Yeah, it actually just closed down, and you got to go to Ipswich or Beverly now.
Yeah, you need to go to a real auto parts store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
not a
look
Walgreens.
At the vast panoply of... motor panaceas that are out there.
Right.
Because there are lots of additives that you can pour into this thing
that
purport to stop exactly the problem that you have.
Yeah.
That right?
I mean, most of them will say, stop leaks fast.
Yeah.
And
none of them say, stop fast leaks, though.
Right.
But I would just also mention that you should check your PCV system.
Mm-hmm.
to make sure that you don't have a plugged PCV valve, because that can cause a rear main seal to leak.
Because it'll build up pressure in the crankcase, which pushes the oil out.
Okay.
But that would be good, actually, because then you could fix it.
Yeah.
But if that's okay, then you try one of these additives, and generally what they do is they attack the rubber of the seal, and they, in effect, expand it, and they slow down, if not even stop the leak.
Okay.
You know, for maybe months and months or even longer. How long are you going to be there before they throw you out?
I'm hoping for a year and a half. But
a year and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget the fallback position is to throw something under the truck and let it leak into it. And
well,
then just
I remember
pour it back in.
One of my brothers, ex-brothers-in-law,
yeah.
I think it was Johnny.
It was Johnny, yeah.
Fashioned, this was brilliant. He had an old Chevy that leaked oil from the rear main seal. And
this thing could leak oil, man.
And I wouldn't say that it was out of concern for the environment that he did it.
It leaked 3 quarts a day.
Wow.
So what he did was he fashioned a little...
A trough.
Vessel.
Yeah.
That he attached with mechanics wire to the underside of the engine.
Yeah.
So that when the oil dripped into this thing, he would capture it. So in addition to sparing the driveway and the street and you know, the roadways around Greater Boston, he was able to pour the stuff back into the engine.
And there's always that. That's the backup solution, you know?
Well, I've got the clearance to put a pan there, but
yeah.
I'm just afraid, you know, I'm going to set it on fire or something.
No, I don't think I'd
you
be worried.
You won't set anything on fire.
Well, that's too bad.
See, the trouble is that it's not always easy to capture the oil because it spreads all over the place.
That's right.
But you could put a cookie sheet under the car.
Where you park.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd catch a lot of it, and then you'd pour it back in.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think pouring it back in is necessary, but capturing it. But in the meantime, keep kicking the gravel.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, I wish you the very best, Matt. I think Stop Leaks Fast is going to work.
Okay.
See you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I liked him.
Kicking the gravel around.
Kicking the gravel around. He wasn't taking it all too seriously.
No. Well,
he knew what was important.
Yeah. And he did have some sterling silver, I'm sure. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amy from Boca Raton, Florida.
Hi, Amy. What's up in Boca Raton?
First of all,
it's about 100 degrees, right?
Yeah, it's pretty warm. I have the air on now.
Is Boca Raton near Del Boca Vista?
I have to check the map for that one.
So what's up?
Well, I need a male perspective.
You're going to get it now, kid.
I hope my husband listens to this. I realize it's my problem. I really know that, okay? But I
if you want male and female perspective, I can go put on my dress. I usually bring it to the studio.
that's a little too scary for me.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if it's required. Go ahead.
I'm not a very good backseat driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to sort of do a little better. Now I have to preface this with two things. My husband has a really good excuse. He's really, really smart. And so he just doesn't have a lot of room in his brain for, like, a lot of details, like which side of the road to drive on.
Oh, I getcha.
Down here in Florida, we have a lot of grassy medians.
Yeah.
So you really have to stay on the right side of those.
You should. You really should,
right, because otherwise it's on your, you know, head on into oncoming traffic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
you should stay off of the median itself as much as possible.
He knows not to drive on the grass. He's really good about that.
Okay.
But it's the heading into the oncoming traffic. Mm. And he doesn't do it all the time, obviously. But sometimes he looks like he's going to do it. And I always kind of go, I did. and I try to say, go on the right, honey, you know, but he gets really mad at me.
Yeah.
And he always says, I know that.
Yeah.
But a couple times when he's really actually driven for quite a ways on the left-hand side, it has kind of frightened me.
Yeah, as well it should.
Well, maybe he only does this when you're in the car.
Well, we had a friend in the car once when he did it.
How can I say this tactfully?
Delicately?
Delicately.
Yeah.
How old is your husband?
Oh, 35.
Just give me a decade.
35.
35?
And what does he do for a living? He's a
professor.
Oh, jeez. What does he teach? Art history or something scientific?
No, ocean engineering.
Yeah, scientific.
Yeah, really scientific. Theoretical.
His problem is...
His field is too wide. See, when you're in the ocean, you don't have to worry about waves.
Yeah. Oh, he should study, like, microbiology.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He needs to change fields. I think then he'll have a respect for staying in his own lane.
Now, I know his problem. He's driving along, and driving can be boring, and so his mind wanders.
Right.
And he's working on some oceanographic problem.
Right.
And he's not thinking about what he's doing. And
right.
I think you're going to have to just continue to do what you do and say, hun, right, right. And,
yeah.
And he's going to have to learn. And if he gets angry, don't forget, when men get angry, here's the male perspective,
uh-huh.
It is because they are guilty as hell of what you have accused them of, and they are using the only defense they know, which is a
yelling.
Good offense. What do you mean, right, right? Of course I know I'm supposed to drive. Of course he knows he's supposed to drive on the right, but not at that particular moment did he know it.
Right.
And he's working way too hard.
He is.
You know, the ultimate irony is that his actual area of expertise is in what they call control, which is giving, you know, all of the computer knowing when, where to go and what to do.
Huh. Would he object to your driving?
Of course. No. He's a man. The man's got to drive.
Well, I sort of say, should I drive, honey? Mm. And he goes, no, I can do it.
Sure, he would say that.
I don't want, then at that point, I can't say, no, I think I'll drive.
I know what to do. So you have to be very, very careful how to do this.
I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Well, I bet we couldn't have come up with the same thing.
Well, go ahead.
Here's my plan.
Yeah.
Next time you have the car and he's not around, you take it to the dealer and you have them change the ignition lock.
Uh-huh.
So that his key doesn't work anymore. And also, the door key won't work anymore.
Really?
Right? So you get to the car, and you're all getting into the car. He tries to get in. It won't work. So you have to go around to the driver's side and say, oh, let me try it, hon. You open the door, you hop in. So every time he tries to drive the car, won't work. It won't go.
Oh, see, I was thinking of the thing our friend Vito uses all the time. We have a friend Vito who insists he has to drive because if he doesn't, he pukes. So you stick him in the passenger seat, you drive a half a mile, and he's hurling chunks right down the defroster vents. And I don't know whether he really gets car sick or he induces car sickness, but if nothing else, he always ensures that he drives.
Yeah.
And obviously he feels safer, and he doesn't puke when he's behind the wheel.
And I tell you how he convinced us of this. One time when he wasn't driving, he gave us this pull over story.
He runs into the woods.
Runs into the woods.
Of course, none of us follow him because we don't want to be there. And we hear, ah! Ah!
Then he comes back and he has to lie on the grass for 20 minutes to recover. And then he announces to us,
I have to drive.
I have to drive.
Now,
and ever since then, he's any time we go somewhere and he's in the car, he has to drive. I like that even better.
So this is it, Amy. Yeah.
This is truly a male perspective. Barfing was not something I had thought.
See, you would never think of the duplicity that men would think of.
No,
never. Actually, women are usually pretty good at this, but I'm sure it would have come to you eventually. But I think you need to run off into the woods, do what Vito did, and then convince him that you don't know what's happened, but unless you drive from now on, this is going to be repeated over and over again.
Oh, you have to just try it out. Say, maybe if I drive, I won't get as car sick.
Right.
And he'll say, try it, hon. And you say, oh, I feel so much better behind the wheel. Because I'm not worried about you, you moron. You say that last part to yourself.
Try it out, Amy.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, guys. Great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, it's time for us to take a short break because I need a minute to fact-check the new puzzler.
Fact-check? Since when are there any facts in your puzzles to check anyway?
All right, fabrication check.
Good.
We'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
And even though the Brothers Grimm say, isn't that scaring little children whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com/CarTalk to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Summer movie season is here and Pop Culture Happy Hour has you covered. For a guide through the blockbusters you know about and the surprise bright spots you might not, we'll tell you what we are looking forward to, what we're secretly dreading, and what might sneak up on us. Listen now and subscribe.
Don't scare me like that. I'm trying to get a little nap in here.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
And a one and a two.
Well, I have to tell a little joke first.
Yeah, go ahead.
This past summer, our producer, Dougie Berman, was on vacation and down in the islands someplace. And he's walking down a street, and leaning up against a tree is a guy that's dressed up like a pirate. You know, he's got the three-quarter length pants, yeah. The puffy shirt.
Peg leg.
The
patch
the,
over
the,
one eye.
The bandana on his head.
Yeah.
The toucan on his shoulder. Reeboks. And he's got, and so Dougie looks at him, and he says, Jesus, he looks at him. The guy's got a peg leg. He does. He's got a hook for a hand.
Wow.
And he's got a patch over his eye, like all pirates do.
Yeah.
And he asked the guy if he's a real pirate. And the pirate says, I am, matey. I'm a real pirate. And Doug asks, he says, geez, you know, he says, you're in pretty bad shape. Do you mind telling me how you lost your leg?
Mm.
He says, it was a mutiny. He said, they threw me overboard, and a shark bit me leg off. And Dougie says, jeez, pretty bad. He says, how about your hand? How did you lose your hand? He says, we were boarded by another bunch of pirates from another ship. He said, they wanted to steal our booty. He said, we came to fight it with swords. And before I could run the last one through, he cut me hand off. Wow. And that's how I wound up with me hook.
Wow.
He says, geez, you got a peg leg. Sharks ate your leg off. You got a hook. He says, how about your eye? Bird poop. Dougie says, excuse me? Bird poop? You mean a bird pooped in your eye and you lost your eye? That's what I said, bird poop. Well, how did that happen? It was the first day with me hook. Well, which leads me up to today's puzzler.
That's a lead into a puzzler.
Now, we all know that pirates, in fact, many sailors of old, have patches over one of their eyes.
They do.
And we know that it ain't bird poop.
We do?
Well,
it seems unlikely, at least. It
seems unlikely that it's bird poop.
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid could... Never mind. The question is, why is it that old-time sailors had frequently a patch
over their eye?
Had no eyesight in one eye, that they wore a patch over their eye. Now, if you think you know the answer, or you just have nothing to do at work and feel like taking a stab at it, mail your answer to Puzzler Tower,
yeah.
Car Talk Plaza, mm-hmm. Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
MA 02238, or of course you can email us your answer from our website, cartalk.com.
Wow.
If you'd like to converse with us at this very moment, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Doug from San Francisco.
Doug, what's happening, man?
I have a 93 Ford Probe.
Yeah.
I recently had a major brake job done to on the front and rear brakes, and ever since I've been getting this strange clunking sound that comes from the right front of the car. And it happens as I'm applying the brakes, sometimes actually after I take my foot off the brakes. It only happens once each time, and it doesn't happen every time.
Really?
I took it back, and they scratched their heads and said, oh, we hear it. We don't know what it is.
Oh, they did hear it.
Oh, they heard it, yeah.
Excellent.
And what's the noise again?
It's a clunk. You know, it sounds a lot like the sound like a pebble hitting the inside of the fender, like when you kick up something.
Oh, it's a little tink.
Oh, it's a very light clunk.
Tink.
And sometimes it happens as you're applying the brake, and I heard you say sometimes it happens when you're releasing the brake?
Yeah, once in a while it'll happen as I take my foot off the brake.
Well, I've got to think that the problem is somewhere in the caliper. It's probably a one-piston caliper that has a slide mechanism. Mm-hmm. And it's possible that the slide is worn out. Maybe everything was okay until they went ahead and put the new pads in. But if the slide is worn out, the caliper can actually move when you step. It will move when you step in the brake, and it could make a noise just like the one you described, a little chunk. Hmm. And then when you release the brake, it could go back.
When you release it.
Yeah.
Exactly,
so it could be a worn caliper slide.
But they didn't do anything to the calipers.
They didn't. No, they didn't. I mean, they're very nice there, but I'm not sure they're very competent.
Yeah.
Yeah, people say that. Never mind. Well, would you rather be known as nice or competent? I mean, if you had to choose between one and the other.
Oh, nice.
Nice is better, isn't
it? Yeah, that's absolutely.
I knew we made the right choice.
It wasn't a choice.
It just
happened that way.
So what should I tell them? That they should disassemble the caliper?
Well, I would ask them to try a new caliper on that side.
Uh-huh.
Tell them to put it on there with the understanding, mind you, that if it doesn't fix it, they'll take it off and send it back.
They might balk at that a little bit, but you have to sweet-talk them.
Another thing that comes to mind is perhaps when they did it, they didn't tighten the axle retaining nut completely. Ask them to check that. There's a big, fat nut that plants the axle to the bearing.
Mm-hmm.
And if that isn't tight, you can get a noise from that, too.
Okay.
Good luck, Doug.
Thanks a lot.
It'll cost them $800 no matter what. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tom.
Hey.
Tom.
How you doing?
Great name. Where are you from, Thomas?
White Plains, Maryland.
Tom, what's on your mind?
All right. I've got a daughter. That's a big problem right there.
Yeah.
She's finishing her third year in college in about 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And she's not going to go back for her fourth year. She
Good.
Wants to go to Fiddletown, California, to work on an organic farm as a laborer. Okay?
Fiddletown.
Yeah. Well, that's up in the Gold Rush country somewhere, not too far from Sacramento.
There is nothing to make one embrace education more than physical labor.
I'm hoping that's the case.
Yes.
I'm hoping you're right. Well, here's my dilemma.
Yeah.
She has a 1987 Toyota pickup. It's got 130,000 miles on it. Runs pretty good right now. But it has the original clutch.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question. Do I take a proactive approach on this and fix what's not broke?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I take a chance of her breaking down in someplace like Iowa or someplace? You got to bear in mind, if that happens, my daughter's a little bizarre. She's clothing impaired, for example.
Uh-huh.
And she's a vegan.
After she does this physical labor, she'll be eating raw cows.
No.
She'll be so hungry.
She did it last summer, you know, locally here, and loved it.
She did, huh?
And she wants to be an organic farmer.
A vegan, huh?
A vegan, yeah.
See, I love the name.
I call her the food Nazi.
So how did you raise such a strange daughter?
I don't know.
No, it's obvious she takes after your wife, right?
Well,
That's it.
She's certainly an interesting person.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, she is interesting.
Sure she is.
But she doesn't walk too close to the ground. She just kind of, you know, about 2 inches above.
Yeah, well, there are some people
like
that.
Well, I mean, this all will be part of the experience.
Yes.
I mean, she's not the least bit afraid to drive this thing out there.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it adds to the adventure.
Something absolutely.
To tell your grandchildren about.
But you realize I'm going to be the one who gets the call from, you know, someplace in Nevada when she's busted down. What do I do now?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I can't eat because there's nothing here but hamburger and all these things.
Right.
Yeah. So what do I do?
Yeah. I mean, you're probably right that the clutch is unlikely to last much longer, even if she makes it across. I mean, a clutch with 130,000 miles on it is a clutch that's really had it.
But your mechanic can easily test it, and by the engagement point can tell you whether it'll make it, you know, another 6 months or another 6 years.
Okay.
So that's easy.
All right.
You should have tested, obviously, the brakes completely. You want to check all the hydraulic lines. You want to check, of course, the ball joints.
Check the whole front end, the suspension system. Make sure wheels are not going to fall off.
Make sure the wheel bearings are repacked and are adjusted correctly. And you want to make sure that the vehicle has the best chance of making it without going nuts and replacing things that...
Yeah, I figured maybe if I put like $1,000 in it, not counting the clutch.
Yeah.
That would be about right?
Yeah, and then vegan should have a nice trip. What is vegan's name?
Her name's Joanna. And she's going out there with her boyfriend, who's an archaeologist.
Oh.
So, I mean, like, what's his chance of getting the job?
So she's not traveling alone.
No, he's going to, like, here was her plan, you know, go in his truck, and he'll get an archaeologist job, and I'll go work on this farm. And I said, you're going to be stuck up on this farm. You got to have your own vehicle. So I want her to follow him out. I figured that would be safe enough.
Oh, that's great. They'll have, that's terrific.
Yeah.
They're all set. I wouldn't worry about a thing.
All right.
And as soon as she leaves, you can stock the freezer with hamburger. Live it up, man.
Okay.
She'll be back before you know it.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi there.
From Fiddletown to New York City.
New York City.
The big city, huh? Who's this?
This is Kimberly.
What's your name?
Kimberly.
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 Those memory pills are really working, I see.
And where are you from, Kimberly?
I'm
Fiddletown, California.
I'm from Norfolk, Virginia, and I've been living in New York City for the past 5 weeks.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yes, which is part of the problem.
You mean like Manhattan, New York City?
I'm in Greenwich Village, in fact.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Yes, it is. But it is a problem, in fact, involving three things: my car, my relationship, and New York City.
Yeah.
I knew you guys were the ones to call.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to live in New York City, you have to give up all hope of personal dignity of any kind.
I'm slowly learning that, but I am having a hard time getting rid of my car. I brought it up here because I wasn't ready to let go of the freedom. I've been a car owner since I was 16, and, of course, now I pay more for parking than I paid for rent back home.
Yeah. Right.
And naturally, I haven't used it since I've been here.
Of course not.
Or I should say, I haven't driven it. I have used it. I occasionally go and just sit in it for some quiet. It's parked in a beautiful structure over on the Hudson River, so my car has a better view than my apartment does.
Uh-huh.
But on the way up here, driving it up, the closer I got to New York City, the more it started acting up, or maybe acting out in protest.
Yeah.
I believe it's possibly the fuel filter. When I'm traveling at high speeds, it will occasionally sputter and hesitate, mm-hmm. mostly while accelerating.
That sounds like a clogged fuel filter or a weak pump.
Bad pump, yeah.
Okay, I had a mechanic back home that was wonderful. I trusted him. And even when I would walk in and say dangerously stupid things, like, mm-hmm. I think it's something major, he'd find a $15 problem and charge me $15 to fix it.
Well, you don't have to worry about that in New York City. You can go to any repair shop, and you will find people that you can trust with your life, practically. Just go in anywhere, and they'll say, oh, it's just a fuel filter, $20. That's it.
And they're especially kind to out-of-towners.
They especially like out-of-towners.
They're going to see this bumpkin coming up 6th Avenue. I know it.
Oh, but don't worry. I mean, they're just, you'll find New Yorkers to be the wonderful people that we know they are.
Five weeks you've lived there.
Yes. Yeah. And I do love it, but there are, of course, you know, all the problems that I guess most big cities have. There's public urination, which baffled me, because people are allowed to go to the bathroom on the sidewalk, but dogs
not
can't.
Dogs.
Dogs, right. Yeah, that's a confused one.
People touch you in weird ways on the bus.
Let's jump ahead to your relationship, because if the relationship isn't very, very strong, I can see very little reason for you to be stuck in this place.
He's wonderful. He's the reason that I moved up here.
Yeah, I understand that.
But that doesn't mean that he's not just absolutely driving me buggy. We're living together in a tiny apartment, which is palatial by New York City standards.
Yeah.
When I moved from Virginia, I put most of my stuff in storage or sold it, but I did ship 28 boxes up here.
Forget it.
He thought that was outrageous. He doesn't understand why I need so many clothes. I don't understand why he still owns everything he's ever owned in this little apartment. We're tripping over boxes. We're tripping over each other, and that's why I have to go sit in my car so often.
Yeah, no, I give you 4 more weeks.
Yeah.
At best.
Wow.
Well, I mean, while you are there, you really should enjoy the fruit trees in bloom in Central Park, because
that
is rather lovely this time of year. After that, I just book it.
New York City is the center of culture of the universe, and you can't beat the falafel.
You just told us that people appeared in the streets and it's the center of culture?
What's a little public urination?
What's a little public urination?
I'll tell you what, though. The most annoying thing are the car horns.
Yeah.
See, everywhere else, people use car horns for safety purposes, but Here, it really is a nuisance.
Yeah, I mean, when you've been sitting there through five changes of the same traffic light, you'll blow your horn. It's human nature. Mother Teresa would blow her horn.
Well, here's what I've come up with. The main problem are the cab drivers. They're the ones that lay on the horns nonstop.
Yeah.
So if we started a campaign and made it public so that the cab drivers were aware of it, don't tip your cab driver if he uses his horn unnecessarily.
Oh.
If I have one that doesn't use his horn unnecessarily, I will give him an extra tip and I will tell him why I'm tipping him more, hoping that he'll go tell others.
Yeah.
But that's a very slow process.
Well, no, it is a slow process. You'll be dead by the time.
Yeah. You're dreaming, Kimberly. You're absolutely nuts.
I'll be a stain on the urine-soaked
<But, laughs> exactly. On the urine-soaked sidewalks of New York.
I guess
there's a song in there someplace. East side. Wait, never mind.
Hey, good luck, Kimberly. I hope you do last another couple of weeks there.
Maintain your enthusiasm and your love of life, and hopefully New York won't ruin you like
I'm
it has 8 million other
on.
People.
Thank you, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, she is a unique spirit.
She does. I mean, she's only been there 5 weeks.
I know. It takes more than five.
Sometimes it only takes a couple of hours, but who knows?
She will persevere. I think.
I hope so.
Unless she moves back.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blooper, Penelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Darjeeling, Dumpling, Jello Ring, Licorice String, and Chicken a la King, Spring Fling, and Wing Ding, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our interpretive dance instructor is Tristan Shout. Our staff alpinist is Ariana Topiet. Our staff ornithologist is Seymour Robbins.
Oh!
Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Aravindo. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz. And our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. And, of course, our staff tailor is Hugh Jass. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Kierkegaard quoting grocery clerks in Harvard Square. That's Huey Louis Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1916, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our migraine-inducing clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR landscaper empties another bag of cow manure in our cubicle whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.